From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, January 10th, 2012. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief, today in Nashua, New Hampshire.
The new year often means turning over a new leaf, and that's exactly what's happening in geotechnology. One non-free online mapping program went free. One country is working on legislation to restrict who can map, and one company repositioned its cloud-based GIS platform as a content management system. Are these changes a good way to start 2012? We'll have a look after a word from our sponsor. This podcast is brought to you by Intergraph, bringing you truly integrated GIS and image processing from a single organization. You can easily leverage GeoMedia and Urdas Imagine in unison to construct a larger, more complete geospatial picture. GeoMedia delivers powerful GIS analysis and management, enabling you to integrate your geospatial resources. Urdas Imagine incorporates industry-leading geospatial image processing, analysis, and remote sensing capabilities. To learn more, visit www.intergraph.com/geospatial and register for our upcoming webinar. The first change I want to look at is a good one for people who like the idea of free, as in free of charge. And it relates to a change from the folks at Access Mapping, who have decided to take their online fee-based mapping program called IndyMaps to a free version. Now, Access Maps does some great work. Their visualization stuff is terrific. They've done work for the New York Times. I've used some of their blog posts as required reading in my courses. I mean, it's that top-notch. And for a while, since about last April, they were offering IndyMaps for a fee of $30 per month, $20 for those in education. And the reviews from the geographic, cartographic world were really quite good. The folks at Flowing Data said, at $30 per month, you're getting a quality service. You get unlimited data storage, version control, map sharing and collaboration, and most importantly, pretty maps. While there are a lot of free options available, none come to mind that work as well as IndyMapper as far as fully customizable maps go. And the one thing that was brought out time and time again in looking at those who were using IndyMapper was its ability to change projections, which is, I guess, not all that available in typical quickie online mapping kinds of tools. So they decided, based on where the company vision is going, it was time to stop supporting that, make it free. There's now support through Get Satisfaction, and change some of the tools that are available. So, for example, you can't save your maps to the cloud. You must download them locally. Otherwise, they will disappear. So is that a good change for the beginning of the year?
Well, obviously, for this company, it's a strategic move. They're moving on to do other things. I think it points out to another issue with online services in general, which is, and it's just a good question to ask, is whether online mapping is now becoming a commodity. There is certainly lots of competition out there, and it's one of those changes where, again, for this particular company, it's a move to really open up kind of the breadth of technology they've been able to develop, perhaps even get more feedback, and yet not exactly have to maintain it like they perhaps have. It just looks like one of those evolutionary type of situations of cloud-based mapping, and in this case, it's a very good tool. So a change for the better only for this particular company, but indicates something, I think, on a broader scale for the industry as a whole.
Yeah, and I guess the way I read this most of all was, this is strictly a business decision. It's time to make this change. And I think the folks who are going to benefit the most from it, perhaps, are those involved in education, and that was one of the comments to the blog post where they made the announcement. Having this be free and allowing students to create their static maps using it and play with projections and then download those maps and use them elsewhere, I think is a really neat opportunity, and one with no cost. It does indicate this commoditization of online mapping of all sorts.
Yeah, it made me think of the old 80-20 rule. It's a solution for a majority of what people want to use maps for, and now it's free. And you know, for the 20% that need something else, they go somewhere else.
Right. And I think the other thing that's great about this is it's getting that application a bit more buzz. It hadn't really been heard from too much, I think, in the year and a half since it was released. So this hopefully will get more people using it, even though that's not going to directly put money in the pockets of the folks at Access Maps.
Right.
The second change that we read about in the past weeks, in the beginning of the new year, had to do with Pakistan. And in Pakistan, they're looking at some new legislation, and I'm going to quote from Business Recorder. With the objective of regulating and implementing surveying and mapping standards in the country to obviate potential security risk to sensitive information, to prevent damage to affixed survey markers, to avoid duplication of effort in mapping, and to transform Survey of Pakistan into a national mapping agency, a draft land surveying and mapping bill has been prepared by the Survey of Pakistan. Now, that's a whole bunch of goals all into one bill that range from everything to protecting survey markers, to making sure the right people are doing the mapping, to limiting duplication, all good stuff. And we did have a comment from the assistant director of the Survey of Pakistan, Asmat Ali, who has written for Directions Magazine, who was really turned off by this article because it seemed to be all about these new laws to restrict things. But his point was, this is really about building the NSDI in Pakistan. And it's a really interesting thing to juxtapose those two things, which, in a sense, you need some of these restrictions to create a great and valuable NSDI, but that's an interesting step forward for Pakistan.
Well, and I think Asmat Ali has one of those perspectives where I think he believes that things are moving fast in a couple of ways. One, a national spatial data infrastructure, looking at some of the things that have been done in Europe on the Inspire program, Pakistan trying to implement some of that, a lot of the issues regarding security concerns. First of all, I think people need an understanding that the Survey of Pakistan, well-established organization, I think the bill to make it a national mapping agency, I don't know why that wasn't done before. Maybe this is just to formalize that particular agency or department or ministry. I think this is kind of, it's not like putting the, you know, closing the barn door, but this is an established ministry. But I think the issue more relates, as Asmat Ali said, to the NSDI and making certain that all of the constituents and stakeholders that are doing work for the Survey of Pakistan are all on the same page. And that just goes into creating an effective NSDI.
Right. And some of these things, I think, may appear to be huge changes, but I agree. They're sort of all the bits and pieces that have to be in place in order for an NSDI of any value to come to be.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And the other comment that was very interesting in this article from Business Recorder, which is sourced to official sources, suggests the Ministry of Defense has suggested to the government to frame a law aimed at stopping unlawful activities related to mapping firms, given that several Western countries, including Australia, China, India, Turkey, USA, and UK, have enacted supportive laws. So in a sense, what this is suggesting is that the Ministry of Defense is pointing to the West and saying, hey, they're putting up these kinds of laws, so we should as well.
But I think there's also a whole lot of other things going on in Pakistan right now that are causing this move. I think some of it is being driven by NSDI. I think some of it's being driven by security. And I also think they're looking over at India and looking at all of the things that are going on in that country with an incredibly robust infrastructure programs going on, education programs going on, and I think that they're making a move to try to do similar things.
Go Pakistan, yeah.
Yep.
For you.
Yep.
The final change that we read about this week came from ESRI and was highlighted by James Fee on the Spatially Adjusted blog. What he's pointing out is that at the GeoDesign Summit this week, ESRI seemed to reposition ArcGIS Online from what it had been, which I'm going to describe as an online portal for map and data sharing to a content management system, a CMS. James says, we've all tried to figure out what ArcGIS Online is, but this week, it's a content management system.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on to suggest that it's really not a content management system because it doesn't support all the different kinds of content, geospatial content that you might want to put in there, and it doesn't do all the things that a content management system, in fact, does. I went back to the ArcGIS Online pages on the web, and in fact, ArcGIS Online is described exactly as a content management system. ArcGIS Online is a cloud-based geospatial content management system for storing and managing maps, data, and other geospatial information. Built on ESRI's cloud infrastructure, it gives you access to geographic content shared and registered by ESRI and GIS users around the world. And this set off a whole set of discussions and comments. I sort of didn't notice it, and I have to admit, had this article not come out, I probably would not have seen any change. And part of it is, too, that when you put out a web product, or frankly any product, and you position it, you're always tweaking that positioning as you learn more about how people are reacting to it, how people are using it. And sometimes when you put it out, you're not exactly sure of the best way to describe it. And I think ESRI is just trying something else to see if this makes it easier to understand and helps users figure out how it's going to be part of their solution.
I think that for many people, their GIS system has always been about content management. I don't know why this is coming as a bit of a surprise. And I think the positioning is correct for what Esri is doing. And it just gave me pause because I don't think there's anything new. I think if you've used GIS for a long time, you've always wrestled with how do you manage your information. And it, to me, it's the correct position. It's but I don't think it's necessarily a new position. I want to read something that Don Barker posted as a, not a rebuttal, but at least a comment on what James was saying. And he says, and in particular, the in the comparison to that's nothing more than Google My Maps, and he says, and I quote, "It's because our work is more complex than simply creating Google My Maps. For more complex geospatial work, GIS product developers and enterprise managers have told me time and again that open source doesn't always make economic sense for their bottom line. When Esri has marketed ArcGIS Online before, they've emphasized the web map, not necessarily online geospatial content management." So I think his point was, hey, if you're an Esri user, you want something that conforms to the Esri standards. So let's not try to make it more than it is.
Right. And I think there's also this is again sort of highlighting this challenge that we have of geospatial for the professionals and geospatial for the people who just need access to data and to make some maps. While there's that whole question of how you communicate that to the user base, there's also this whole idea of how you position this product to the greater technology world. Let's face it, the world knows about GIS as much because of ESRI as because of what Google did with Google Maps.
Mm-hmm.
And to position ArcGIS Online as something that everybody can use and everybody can make a map and have an account and share their map is much more along the lines of what Google has done, and I don't think that's a bad thing.
No. I think you have to at least reach for that type of an approach, even if only now it's strictly for more Esri formatted data. But no, you have to open up that vision to say that this is certainly a capability, and along the way they will probably get there.
Right, and those people will not care, probably would not use the word content management system. It's the tool that they use to make maps.
Well, but we know what a content management system is, or at least we have some idea of what a CMS can do. I think it puts something in the mind of the consumer that says, okay, I know what this it will do for me. And I think that's something you want to do for the potential client.
I don't think you necessarily want to do that for the end user. I think that's something you want to do for the people who are going to be implementing ArcGIS for an organization. I think regular people don't know what a content management system is.
Hmm. Okay, well, I mean, it's a fair comment, but CMS is a much broader term in the context of information technology.
Absolutely. In fact, just to come full circle, Wikipedia defines a content management system, quote, is a system providing a collection of procedures used to manage workflow in a collaborative environment. These procedures can be manual or computer-based. The procedures are designed to do the following, and there's a whole list of things that will sound very familiar. Now, the emphasis there is on workflow, and at least to this point, that has not been a real focus of ArcGIS Online, at least to me.
No, but don't try to make it into one. I don't think that most content management systems, at least today, focus on workflow. They simply focus on managing what you've got. That's to me, creating workflow is another step. And I don't view CMSs as that right now, at least.
Right. And I guess the final point I'll make about this is that as much as everybody's anxious to use and get the final specs on what ArcGIS Online for organizations is going to be, that's the pay service that allows you a bit more control, this is still a very new product. It's still evolving. The fact that it doesn't support every possible kind of geodata is to be expected.
And it's a fair comment. Their first inclination is always to provide the content management for their existing users, and that's the right way to go about it. If further iterations of the product in the line, sure. It may support other things like, I think somebody pointed out, DWG or TAB or whatever.
Right, and I guess the other question I'll ask you, is there anything else in the marketplace that calls itself a geospatial content management system or implies that set of capabilities?
I have not heard that, but let's put it in the context of other cloud-based solutions, whether that's Google My Maps or Das Apollo. Any of those types of solutions can be viewed as a content management system. I think ArcGIS Online is the first one that put the CMS label on it.
And I think that's a really good point. And that's that when it comes down to marketing, it's all about owning a particular term. And maybe this is just really just a little marketing spin to try to make sense of this for another group of people.
Yep, I would agree.
That's all the time we have for today. Before we go, a reminder that this podcast is brought to you by Intergraph, providers of GeoMedia and IRDAS Imagine. GeoMedia and IRDAS Imagine feature the widest range of native data format compatibility on the market and a solid commitment to open standards from the OGC and ISO, providing seamless integration with current and future business systems and keeping you free from proprietary lock-in. To learn more, visit www.intergraph.com/geospatial. If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can send us a tweet at DirectionsMag, or you can leave a comment at Directions Magazine, where this podcast is hosted.
And from us at Directions Magazine, we have a great real estate webinar series. It's a four-part series on geospatial technologies in real estate. For more information, go to our homepage, directionsmag.com, and look at the very top for real estate webinar series.
Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.